Easter's coming very quickly. Easter holidays started for most of the children. But as we approach Easter, it's difficult to ignore the Easter bunnies. Difficult to ignore the hot cross buns, and especially difficult to ignore the chocolate eggs that fill the supermarket shelves and dominate ads on TV this time of year. But I don't know whether you realise that actually women in this country buy 2/3 of all chocolate. Men only buy 1/3. But actually those statistics are slightly misleading, because women actually share half their chocolate and men eat all they buy. So I don't know what conclusions we can draw from that, except eat less chocolate the next few weeks. Thankfully, Easter's not just about chocolate. Even for those that have no faith, it's become an important family time in the UK. Partly reflected by the fact that 16 million cards are sent at Easter, only second only to Christmas, in the volume of cards for friends, relatives. It's become quite a family thing, Easter time. A survey was conducted on the streets of London about the meaning of Easter, and people said this: Easter is about hot cross buns. They said Easter is about a public holiday on the Friday and the Monday. Asked, what does Easter all about? They said, I've no idea. The only thing I know is the bunny and the chocolate. Moray asked the poll of people, the public, what happened on Easter Day? 43% of UK people said, I do not know what happened on Easter Day. Nearly half the public don't know the significance of Easter. But for us who do know, it's a wonderful, important focus of the year, because it's an opportunity to reflect on, think about, talk about, freshly understand and get revelation on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, we've been studying the book of Colossians on Sunday mornings over the last few months. End of last year, we looked for and found Christmas. We were looking for Christmas in the book of Colossians, and we found it. There was a revelation about the incarnation there in the book of Colossians. So book of Colossians had Christmas. Has book of Colossians got Easter? Yes. There's many aspects of the death and resurrection of Jesus in the book of Colossians. What I want to do over the next couple of weeks, this week and next week, is just look at two aspects of the cross, two aspects of Jesus' death that we find in the book of Colossians. There are many. I just want to pick out two, one this week and one next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are so wonderful, so fantastic, so amazing. And Lord, we come this morning to you who's the giver of life. You're the God who comes and raises us from the dead. And Lord, thank you that you have put your hand upon our lives, that though once we were lost and blind and without God and without hope, you've put your hand upon us, given us understanding, given us revelation, placed your very life in us, that we could benefit from what you did in dying for us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, would you help us, even today, even this morning, open the eyes of our heart that we would understand afresh. Open the eyes of our heart that we would see Jesus and see him crucified, buried, risen again for each one of us. We ask for revelation. Holy Spirit, would you help us this morning? Amen. Now, I come from a fairly humble family background. My great-great-grandfather was a coal miner in Yorkshire, in Barnsley in Yorkshire. He worked down the pit. My great-grandfather was a clog maker. I'm not in line to inherit a vast fortune from my family. Don't know about you, but my family circumstances are such that I'm not expecting at time in the future to inherit some vast estate or some big wealth. I don't know what you're expecting from your family, but some people who've hit the headlines, we read about them inheriting huge sums of money. There's a guy called Sergei Sudev. Got a picture, here he is. So you can't quite see very well because of the light. But this man, Sky News reported this man, Sergei, that he has received an inheritance of 950 million euros. It's a lot of money. Now, the thing that makes it remarkable is not the amount. I mean, the amount is remarkable. I mean, imagine that transferring into your bank account, 950 million euros. The thing that's remarkable is inheritance was from his uncle. His uncle was a German guy who had this vast wealth. And the thing that's remarkable is that Sergei only met his uncle 10 years previous to his death. I only met him briefly, but obviously must have made such an impression that his uncle thought, when I die, I'm leaving it all to him. And so it was completely out of the blue. He wasn't expecting it. Imagine the phone call from the lawyer. You think it was an April Fool's joke, wouldn't you? Please find enclosed check for £950 million. What an inheritance. Even more strange, there was a guy in Portugal who was an aristocrat, lots of money. And when he died, he had so much money but no children. So what he decided to do, he left in his will instructions for solicitors to do this. Get the phone directory and stick a pin in 70 names, just at random. Choose 70 names out of the phone directory and split my money between them and send it to those guys. And there we have it. There's the people who received that money. Amazing. Amazing. But there were a few surprise phone calls in Lisbon on that day. But most shocking of all was a story I heard of Asia's richest woman, Nina Wang, who died a few years ago. Now, she left $13 billion. And she left it not to her family, but to this man. Now, this man was her Feng Shui instructor. And he said to her, if you will leave me your money, I will give you eternal life. So she did. She left him $13 billion. Of course, he didn't have eternal life to offer anyone. Very sad con trick. And you certainly can't buy eternal life, not even with $13 billion. And I want to see this. What I want us to look at this morning is that whatever our family background, whether your family background is one where you're expecting an inheritance or not, I've got some good news. I've got some very good news for you this morning, is that you are in line to receive an inheritance. And this inheritance isn't from your parents. It's not from some rich uncle. But this inheritance is from God. And Paul describes it in Colossians 1 verse 12. It's our key verse for this morning. And Paul says this, Colossians 1 verse 12, always thanking God the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance. You have been enabled to share in something which is an inheritance from God that belongs to his people who live in the light. And so this inheritance is for the people of God. Whatever your family background, that your heavenly Father has an inheritance for you. Through the work of Jesus on the cross, Jesus purchased for you an inheritance for every one of us. And my goal this morning is just to refresh us, just to help us see afresh that we are people who have an inheritance. Now, do you know what? Those guys I talked about that received all that money, and by the way, the Feng Shui instructor had the money stripped from the court. They took him to court and took the money off him for conning the lady. Thankfully, he didn't get the $13 billion. But those people that we looked at this morning that received the money, it must have been life-changing when they realized, when the truth hit them, we've got an inheritance and it's fantastic. And this morning, if we could just glimpse the inheritance that we are in line to receive from God, our Father, it would be life-changing. It is life-changing. The more we can appreciate and see today that this inheritance. If you had an inheritance from a relative, even if it was a lot of money, you can't take it with you. But the inheritance we're talking about this morning is for you to receive now, and you can keep it forever. How is this possible? How can you and I be in line for this inheritance? Well, let's look again at the English Standard Version. We're looking at Colossians 1 verse 12. And this is what Paul said. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, the focus of this verse is what God the Father has done for you. As a result of Jesus dying on the cross, we're adopted into Jesus' family, into God's family. The result of that, we've got Jesus as our brother and we've got God as our Father. You know, the starting point today for every one of us, if you're a Christian this morning, our starting point is realizing that whatever our earthly father was like, whether you are in line to receive an inheritance from your earthly father or not, that you now have a heavenly father. and that you are now adopted into a new family. You have a new inheritance. Part of being born again is this adoption into God's family. And it's only possible, of course, because of the reconciling work of Jesus on the cross. Because Jesus, once we were outside of God's family, but through what Jesus did for us in dying for us, we've now been put into God's family. So we now have a new Father, God, our Heavenly Father. We now have a new family, and we now have a new future. Paul explains this in Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul's talking about how the fact that we are now children of God, that you and I have been adopted into a family, and if you're a child of God, which you are by adoption, then you're an heir. You're an heir. You're in line. Heirs are in line to receive an inheritance. Because the very fact that you're part of God's family, there's something that the Father wants to pass on to you. There's an inheritance that he has that he wants to bless you with. Because you are now part of a different family, God's family. The good news this morning is you are in line to receive an inheritance from God. But to see what that inheritance is, we've got first of all to see what was to be our inheritance before we were Christians. So before we were in God's family, before we were adopted, before we were taken and placed into God's family, what was your inheritance to be? What were you lined up to receive outside of God's family, without God? Paul talks about it in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 3. Some verses selected there. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Talked about how as Christians, at one time, before you became a Christian, you were dead in your trespasses, in your sins. It says, and like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. By nature, God was going to give us his wrath. Because we deserved it. He continues in verse 12. At that time, before you were Christians, you were separate from Christ, alienated from the family of Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. He's describing what it's like to be not a Christian. He's describing what the inheritance is of those who live and die without Jesus. He's describing what you were destined for if you had not become a Christian. And if this morning you're not a Christian, this is what you're lined up for. Outside of God's family, you're separated from Jesus. Before you're a Christian, you didn't have God's promises in your life. Before you're a Christian, you were without hope. Before you're a Christian, you were without God. Before you're a Christian, you were a spiritual orphan. But worse, you are destined to receive God's wrath, God's judgment, God's anger as your eternal inheritance. True for everyone who is without Christ. And that's the shocking reality of those who live and die without Jesus. But Paul tells the Colossians, in Colossians 1 verse 12, he says, thanks be to God our Father, giving thanks to God our Father. See, that was our inheritance. But thanks be to God, God's now done something that our inheritance has now changed. Oh, what an amazing God. What a fantastic God. What a wonderful God. No wonder Paul is giving thanks to God. No wonder Paul, what's rising from Paul's heart is thanksgiving, because he realized this is what I was due. This is where I was living. This is what my inheritance was to be. But now, thankfully, God has taken me and adopted me in his family. God's taken me in. Now I'm an heir of God. God's taken me and now I have a heavenly Father who has an inheritance for me. And it's an inheritance that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Once you were excluded and now you have a place in God's family. Family is a wonderful thing. So God's invention. And whatever your natural family like, whether it's tricky, difficult, blessed, whatever it is like, the wonderful good news is God has a fantastic family where he is the Father, Jesus your brother, and you've got many brothers and sisters. Even here this morning, you've got a family to belong. It's a family for eternity. It's a family that will last to eternity. But what I want us to see, this is the main point of today, is that you see what the God the Father did? He says he qualified you to share in this inheritance. God's done something that enables you to share in this inheritance. It's not down to you earning a place in his family. It's not down to you and I being good enough. Actually, God has done something. God, the Father has done something which has qualified me to actually be part of his family. And this is such a wonderful, wonderful thing this morning for us to rejoice in. Astounding statement. God has qualified you to share in this inheritance. You see, qualifications are normally earned. You work hard for a qualification. You do a lot of study. You're assessed. You take exams and assessments. The question in the back of the mind of the examiner is, are you good enough? In 1978, I took my first driving test. And unfortunately, I wasn't successful. Unfortunately, I failed my driving test. The examiner decided I wasn't up to it. I wasn't good enough. Something to do with the fact I went round the corner rather sharp. And he was gripping onto the seat as he went round. But he decided I didn't qualify. He disqualified me. There's that terrible moment at the end of the test where you kind of, you know you've not done so good, but you're hoping you've done so just enough. And so you sort of sat next to the examiner. I was just hoping. And he kind of, his head was down. And I kind of knew this is not going to be good. And he kind of broke it to me gently. You're not good enough. You failed. Terrible words. I've not succeeded. I've not got to the point of being qualified. I wasn't qualified. When you apply for a job, it says to do this job, you need these qualifications, blah, blah, blah. If you haven't got those qualifications, there's no point in applying. There's no point in applying saying, well, really, I'm actually quite a nice guy. I'm actually really quite nice. I'm not so bad. My son showed me a picture that had been posted on Cadbury. I think it was the Cadbury's website of someone applying for a job in the Cadbury's factory. And they didn't have the qualifications for the job, but they just wrote how they were a nice person, they loved chocolate, and they put a £5 note on the top of the applicant and said, wing, wing, nudge, nudge. Of course they didn't get the job. They didn't have the qualifications for the job. Many of us here have worked hard to get qualifications. Part of the process of getting qualifications, you're evaluated. Are you good enough? Do you have the right skills? Do you have enough knowledge? Do you have sufficient understanding? Paul is telling us God has qualified you. You haven't had to apply. You haven't had to get qualifications. You haven't to pass any tests or be good enough or come to God and say, God, here is my qualifications. Are they good enough to be part of your family? God, will you let me in, please? Look, I've done this. I sang in the choir. I did this. I did that. Actually, you don't have to, because God has qualified you. God has qualified you. Wow. God has made you adequate, good enough. God has qualified you. The same idea is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. The same idea that Paul's telling the church in Corinth, that God has made you competent. God's made you able. God's made you qualified. Something God's done has actually enabled us to be invited as a place in his family. Wow. The truth of this is incredible. That actually there's so much in me which thinks, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to be good enough, I've got to have something that means I can be part. Actually, God says, no, I have qualified you, says God. He's done the qualifications. When I was a teenager, I loved playing football. I lived in Manchester. And so even though I played football for hours, I knew that I went to Manchester United football trials. I knew I was not going to qualify. I didn't have the skill to be a professional footballer. When I took a course in physics at uni, I struggled and I realized I don't have that kind of brain. I'm never going to be a physicist. I couldn't be Brian Cox. No chance. We're all aware of our failures. We're all aware of times where we tried something and we failed and we're just not good enough. Just not good enough. We just don't make it. We just don't make the cut. We just don't pass. We just don't, whatever it is, we're all very aware of our failures. Times we didn't qualify something. But in terms of our relationship with God, the key thing is you never stood a chance of qualifying. You never stood a chance of qualifying to be part of God's family and to receive an inheritance. You never could. However good, whatever you'd done, You could never qualify. You are never going to be pure enough. You are never going to be good enough. And of course, that's the amazing aspect of Jesus dying on the cross, that some divine exchange happened, that Jesus died for me and my failure and my sin and my not good enough. And Jesus gave to me, incredibly, amazingly, I received back from his right standing with God, that we are now in Christ. And so now we're qualified. We're qualified. God's done it for you. That's the kindness of God. You are never going to make it into God's family except God has done it. He's qualified you. He's given you a place. You're now adopted and you receive an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. He's fulfilled every entry requirement. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. That's how much God loves you, that he's done what you could not do, so that you can share in this inheritance he has for you. I don't know about you, but I don't often think about the inheritance I have from God. Here, Paul, in this letter to the Colossians, he was telling them, "You're as a believer, as a son, as an heir, you are in line for an inheritance. You're in line to receive something. If you had an uncle who was about to give you a huge sum of money, you'd feel quite benevolent towards that uncle who was about to leave you this money. God wants us to realize that he is giving us this incredible inheritance. And this is for every single person. It's not just for the person next to you. It's not for a person who's good enough. It's for me. It's for you. God has no favorites. Really let this truth touch our hearts today. God does not have favorites. God's not like Jacob. In the book of Genesis, we see Jacob had 12 sons. And he looked at the 12 sons. And one of them, Joseph, he said, "This one is my favorite. The other one's not so good. But this one, Joseph, he's my favorite boy." And so he had this beautiful, amazing coat made, of course, that we read about in Genesis, gave him this lavish present so that everyone could see, "This is my favorite." Caused a whole load of family problems, as you know, as you read the book of Genesis. But Romans 2 verse 11 says this: God does not show favoritism. That's the good news. God does not show favoritism. So it's not just for the person next to you. It's for me. It's for you. What we're talking about, say, this inheritance isn't just for those special people or those favored people. It's for all God's family. There are no favorites. It's for each one of us. The good news this morning is you have been qualified by God to be part of this family. And we have an inheritance that's worth far more than what the richest man on this planet is going to leave to his children. Bill Gates currently is the richest man alive. Now, he has got three children. I guess he's going to leave them a big inheritance. I bet it will be massive what he's going to leave them in terms of when he dies and when he writes a will and when he leaves them an inheritance. They're heirs to his fortune. Don't know how he's going to divide it up. It's up to him. It's personal business. But whatever, they're heirs in line to a massive fortune. I want us to see that what God has for us is far, far bigger. You see, those children of Bill Gates, however much money they get, they'll be able to spend it, sure. But there'll be a time of how many years before they die. And then they'll have to hand it on. They can't keep it. The wonderful thing about the eternal inheritance we have from God is it's something we get now that we keep for eternity. Wow, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Back to Romans 8 verse 17, just a reminder where it says we're children. We're children of God, and therefore we're heirs. We're heirs. We're in line to receive what God has for us. And the picture Paul has in mind is the picture of God's inheritance for his people in the Old Testament. Joshua 14 verse 2 talks about how the inheritance was divided up. This is a practical, physical thing. When the people of God went into the promised land, then the land was divided up. And so between the tribes, there were some tribes left on one side of the Jordan, but the 9.5 tribes that went through to the other side of the Jordan, but it was divided up, right? You have this inheritance, you have that inheritance. They were all given generous pieces of land with which to establish and to enjoy and to be blessed with. It was their promise, their inheritance. God gave his people in the Old Testament physical, wonderful inheritance. And God has for us not a piece of land, but something far, far better. Now, there are two aspects of this inheritance for us to see. The first is that actually there's some part of this inheritance which is for us to enjoy now. It's kind of a two-part thing. Is that there's some part of this inheritance which we can have now, and there's some part which is for the future when we go to heaven to be with God. You see, in this verse here, what we're looking at in Colossians 1 verse 12, it says, when it says that God qualifies us to share the inheritance, it's the present tense. He qualifies us now. We're now qualified. You make the grade. We're qualified to receive what God has for us, his inheritance. And it continues in Colossians 1 verse 13, where it says, God's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Something God has done, something God has done for your life, is he's rescued you from one dominion, from the dominion of darkness, taken you and put you into the kingdom of his Son he loves, to God's kingdom. So we can enjoy part of this inheritance, this part of this side of heaven. See, as part of God's kingdom, God has material blessings. Nick was just sharing that testimony of how God is interested in the practical aspects of your life and my life. There are things in our life that God wants us to enjoy, to be blessed. My daily Bible reading verses. I was up to today, as I read my Bible verse, one of the verses I read today was that Jeremiah 29:11. Where God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's for now. That's what God has for us now. God has that for us today and tomorrow. God has plans for my life and your life to give us a hope, to give us a future. Wow. Wow. God, could our hearts really grasp that? God, today, could our hearts really see the fact that you have plans for our lives now, this side of heaven, plans to bless us, plans to work in our lives in so many ways. Thank you, Father, you're a generous, wonderful Heavenly Father who has so much for each one of us. Father, I pray today, would you open the eyes of our hearts to understand and appreciate the fact that we are heirs, we have an inheritance. There's things you have to pour into our lives right now, right this week. God, could we receive them? Could we benefit from them? Could you pour these things out, Lord? There's things now, and there's more to come. There's a fuller realization of our inheritance once we get to heaven. Look at what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1 verse 4. Peter says, you have an inheritance that cannot perish or spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. There's an aspect of what God's got for us, which is in heaven. And because it's in heaven, it can't go bust. Inflation can't eat away its value. It's not something that can perish. It's something that God has in heaven for you. You know, I've been struck as I read Paul and Peter and John and Luke, people writing the New Testament, they lived in the expectation of what they were going to receive once they got to heaven. Paul said, despite these light and momentary troubles, he described his problems as light and momentary. This is someone who was shipwrecked and beaten and stoned. He said, oh, they're light, they're momentary, compared to what God has for me in heaven for eternity. And so there's an aspect of our inheritance which is yet to come, which is the full realization of it. Last summer, I was in Newquay, and Newquay, it's a great place for surfing. I wasn't surfing. My sons were, but I wasn't. We're walking down the street in Newquay, and there was a guy with a platter. And on the platter were little sort of tasty little things. So there was little mini burritos. there was some potato wedges with a garlic dip, and so I just take a few of these, and I thought, wow, this is just fantastic. And so, I mean, it was great marketing. The guy sort of turned around and said, and there's where you can go and buy it from. So that's where we went for lunch. It was obvious where we were going to go for lunch. Once you tasted it, you knew what you were going to do for lunch because you tasted these things. We have an inheritance that we can taste. We can taste it now, but the full course, the three courses, the full event is in heaven, kept safe for you. There's something you have in heaven, which is an investment for eternity. God's deposited it in your spiritual bank account, and it's there for eternity for you. That's part of the deal. That's part of what Jesus has done for us. This is the confidence the Apostle Peter had. The Apostle Peter went to his death in Jerusalem, knowing that when he died, he would be absent from the body, present with the Lord, there with Jesus, and he'd be enjoying his inheritance forever. The writer of the Hebrews said this in Hebrews 9, verse 15, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. We have a promise from God that will be ours for eternity. I want this morning just to come back to the first verse we started, to Colossians 1, verse 12, just to finish with this verse. Because Paul says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in this inheritance of the saints in light. See, Paul was saying, look, the only thing, I just want to give thanks to God for what he's done. And this morning, I want us just to say, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you have done. Lord, you have given me an inheritance now to enjoy and one for eternity for me to receive and to benefit from and to be so blessed by. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes together for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, can we join the Apostle Paul this morning with hearts of thankfulness? God, thank you, Lord. If some of us this morning feel our lives are quite stark, quite empty, there doesn't seem blessing, much blessing around in our lives, can I suggest this morning we just turn our eyes to our Heavenly Father? And just like that man on the street in Newquay that had these tasters that were great, believe God wants to bless us, bless our lives in so many ways. Heavenly Father, would you pour out such a blessing in the life of every single person here? Or could we have more testimonies like Nick's testimony of how you did remarkable things, unexpected things, amazing things, Lord? Even this week, Father, even this week, that we bring to you our whole lives afresh and say, God, would you give us a taste of this inheritance that you have for us? Thank you, we're part of your family. And Lord, today, could we receive afresh the things you have for us? I wonder if we could just, I think it'd be good to pray in twos this morning, just about these things. So I wonder if you could turn to the person next to you or behind you, twos or threes, don't leave anyone out, but just to pray about these things we're talking about this morning, that God would pour fresh into different areas of our lives, where there's lack, where there's a question mark, where there's uncertainty. God, would you please pour into my heart and life? Would you please pour your wonderful inheritance for us? Just turn around twos and threes and let's pray together.